I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests flow by order from thy throne. While all that are aside from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there. While all that are aside from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Is there a God? How do we know there is a God if we can't see Him? How do you know there is wind? Can you see the wind? You can only see the evidence. In the same way that trees, the birds, the animals, the flowers, the roaring sea clearly shows us God and the things He has created. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." If you really want to know if there is a God, pray to God. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you.
Truly I love Thee, truly. Were you
Entreats you, oh, return ye unto God.
you, O return ye unto God, O return ye unto God. You forgive your transgressions and remember them.
God loved the world. would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word doth teach how man the blessed goal may reach.
My dear friend, there is in the heart of every man, woman, and child a deep desire to know the truth. That's why we lay on our bed, or maybe sit in some dark corner of the park or some other place, thinking and asking ourselves those deep questions that plague our minds. I would like to take you to the oldest recorded history that's in the world. It's a book that sheds light on all the questions that we face as mankind. It's called the Bible. Let's take a little tour and see what answers it really has. Is evolution accurate? No. The Bible gives us the account of creation. Everything about us screams of God's creation. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If there is a God, why do people suffer? God created man without sin, pure, righteous. It was only after man sinned that death passed upon all men. Death, meaning having a sinful nature and dying physically. It was not God's fault, but man, having a free will to choose, sinned, thus bringing all the corruption we see today. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Is there life after death? Yes, there is life after death. Jesus said these words in John 5:28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Will I be judged for the wrong deeds I have committed? Yes, we will be judged. Revelation 20:12-15, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Those that are living for God will hear the following words, Matthew 25:34, Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Are there any absolutes in life, or is it all to my own judgment? Have you ever been wrong? I have. Following our own judgments always brings confusion. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We will be judged by God on the day of judgment. Thus the things contained in the Bible are absolutes, and we cannot follow our own intuition. Is there a heaven and a hell? Yes, there is. Here is a story that Jesus gave of a man that died in Luke 16, 22 through 24. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Does God hear me when I pray? Yes, he does. He even knows how many hair we have on our head. James 5, 17 through 18. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. How do we really know the truth? All truth is encompassed in God and His Word. Jesus said these words, John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 8, 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are sexual relations outside of marriage wrong? Yes, they are. In the following scripture, the word fornication is used for sexual relations outside of marriage. Romans 1, 29 through 32. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, there's a word, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. How can I have a clear conscience, peace with God, and be saved from the wrath to come? My friend, if the Spirit of God is pricking your heart and you desire to find true freedom, kneel down and talk to God. Confess your sins that you have committed and turn away from them. Believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation and freedom. Make a commitment to follow God and obey the Bible at all costs, serving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Find a church that obeys a Bible and get baptized. Expect friends to turn against you because the world is at enmity against God. Read the Bible and pray to feed your hungry soul. The scripture says in Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
We hope this CD encouraged you to live your life for God and seek the truth. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of house we lived in, how much fun we had, nor what our clothes looked like. Those things won't matter once we've passed from this life. What will matter is our response to truth. It will matter what we did with Jesus and whether we allowed him to be Lord of our life. It will matter whether we lived for ourselves or whether we lived for God and the good of others. Deciding to follow Jesus is a very important decision. Jesus tells us in the Bible that we must consider what it will cost to pledge allegiance to his kingdom. Living for Jesus is not an easy road. When we commit ourselves to Christ, we can no longer do the same things we've done before. We can no longer pursue the American dream. Like the patriarch Abraham, we too must look for an eternal city that has solid foundations, a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible promises that when we repent and call on the Lord, God hears our prayers and honors the sincere desires of our hearts. So if this message has spoken to your heart, find a quiet place where you can talk to God while your heart is still tender. Talk to him just like you would talk to a person. Repent of your sins and cry out to him for mercy. Invite Jesus to become the Lord of your life and ask him for his Spirit. Commit yourself to a group of believers who are attempting to actually follow the teachings of Jesus and ask them to baptize you upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. When God's Spirit takes up residence in your heart, you are born again with a new spirit. As you love the Lord and walk in obedience to his teachings, you can be assured that you are on the path to eternal life. However, if you are still considering the cost of being Jesus' follower, consider also that serving God really is the only sensible choice, even if that choice is hard. If we faithfully serve the God of heaven, someday after this life, we will hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I anticipate hearing these words of Jesus someday. It gives me inspiration to get up in the morning. It makes the hardships of this life worth living for and worth dying for. So as you count the cost of committing your life to the Lord, I hope you will make the right choice, the only reasonable choice.